The lesson today is Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Well, here it is, the end of October. If tomorrow is Halloween, then Christmas cannot be far off. And if you're not already doing your Christmas shopping, you may well be behind. Well, at least I think it is time to think about Christmas cards, or at least I got to thinking about them as I was preparing this sermon. Now, you know, many cards express the familiar message, peace on earth and goodwill to men, or goodwill to all, if it's the more inclusive version. Now, on this Faith in Action Sunday, we think of peace and goodwill as goals of our faith holds as worthy of our attention and hope. Surely seeing them on Christmas cards does give us all a good feeling. And yet I wonder, do all those millions of peace and goodwill greetings do anything to make peace and goodwill more real in our world? Now what if a phrase were added such as, let's get out there and work to make this happen? Probably that wouldn't do much for Christmas card sales. But it might get some of us thinking more realistically about what peace and goodwill require. And so today we continue our theme on the marks of a Christian disciple. Today, the theme is that a disciple takes faith public. A disciple knows that faith is more than a private internal matter. It is lived out in the give and take of life in the world. Now, in no way does that detract from the importance of the inner life. You know, that has to be real if one's living it out is going to be meaningful and on target. But again and again, you know, Jesus made it clear that how one lives is an equal partner to what one believes. Indeed, it is the validation of one's faith. Or, as the writer of James put it in those familiar words, faith without works is dead. And so in today's reading from Isaiah 65, the prophet gives us what he sees as God's vision for what life in this world is meant to be. Now, as idealistic as it sounds, it is very much a this world vision, a world in which people live full lives in safe homes with enough to eat, where people do not labor in vain and they do not hurt or destroy one another. And the implication of this is that this is a plan for life worth living for and working for, because it is God's vision for us. It is the kind of life that we humans were created to enjoy. And so we are called to take public our faith in that vision, and so work for that kind of world in which all of us are truly blessed. Now, I think it's evident that one of the major forces shaping our world today is indeed the political realm. We can debate to what extent politics should be shaping us, but the fact is that political decisions do have a major impact. Now we are only days away from an election that will influence our public life for years to come. In addition to our national leadership, of course, here in California, we have 17 ballot issues that will influence our living in this state. And so for those of us who hold to God's vision for life, what will it mean for us to take faith public in this election? Now, I want to suggest a radical idea. We let our faith influence how we vote. Now, I don't think that should be radical at all for Christian disciples. And yet, how often do other considerations crowd into our thinking, such as, how will this impact me economically? How does it fit in with whatever political ideology I hold to? How likable do I find the candidates? What impact might this have on my lifestyle or personal convenience? I'm proposing that we start first with the question, what light does my faith, my beliefs, my Christian vision throw on the candidates and the issues that I will vote on? Now, taking that seriously means that I think many of us will have some homework to do before Election Day. It may mean looking more deeply into what candidates stand for and to what the ballot measures entail. For the California ballot measures, the California Council of Churches has an analysis and recommendations on its website that some of you might find helpful. At least it represents a Christian point of view. And that website is simply churchimpact.org. Churchimpact.org. Now, we may find that we need to go deeper in exploring our own beliefs and how they fit in with today's political realities. And to the extent that we do that, we will be more impactful voters for our efforts. Following the service this morning, Reverend Patricia is going to be leading a book study on this very subject of how we impact the public life around us. And I think many of you may find that sharing time together a very helpful one for yourself. The point is, you see, that our public life is simply too important to be left to politics as usual. Those of us who care about God's kingdom and the values of faith in our world need to be making our impact on the political process. And yes, we know how easy it is to get cynical about politics in general, and probably this year in particular. Many of us are wondering how we ended up with the particular candidates and the nasty campaigning of this year's presidential election. And we despair of the ongoing gridlock in Washington that seems to thwart any forward movement there. So it is enough to make us cynics of the first water, whose only reaction is disgust. But leaving it there is not really an option for those of us who have faith in God's intentions for our common life. No, we are called to put our faith into action, even in as murky a realm as the political. Now, one of my Divinity School fellow alums has come up with a name for what I believe we as a people need now, and she calls it the politics of the soul. Now, I believe it's very similar to what Martin Luther King called soulcraft. King was convinced that the needed changes toward civil rights and racial equality would come about fully only when enough people would grow in enough spiritual depth to support those kind of changes. Soulcraft, then, was the needed prerequisite for effective political and social change. Now, similarly, I see the politics of the soul as bringing together the faith insights, values, and vision needed to face up to today's political realities. Surely such politics begins with a basic belief that God loves and values every one of us, whatever our political orientation might be. And so the least we can do is to show a basic respect for one another, including those that we disagree with. It also includes a belief that God does have a vision for our common life together, as the prophet Isaiah put forth in today's lesson, and as Jesus proclaimed again and again in speaking about the kingdom of God. Now, I believe that God's vision for our life transcends all of our hardened positions of left or right, and so gives us hope for realizing a fuller expression of our common welfare. And friends, how much we in this nation need that kind of vision. And I believe that soul politics can also help to give us perspective, for it reminds us that the fulfillment of God's kingdom is a long-haul venture. Yes, what we do now counts, but God's kingdom will not likely be fulfilled in our lifetime. And so our calling is to keep faith with God's vision in our time, including the political dimensions of that vision. You see, if enough of us would nurture a politics of the soul, I believe over time it would change the political landscape of our nation for the better. Our common welfare would be strengthened, and more of the material and social benefits of our nation would be extended to more people. And then peace and goodwill would be something we would celebrate and not simply long for on our Christmas cards. Well, that's the kind of world I know I would like to live in, and I trust the same is true of you. Well, friends, taking our faith public is the way we will reach that destination. Now, to be sure, there are many ways to take one's faith public. I focus this morning on the political because it is so much the focus of our public attention right now, and also because of how important I see it to be. But each of us will find situations in our own lives that will call us to put our faith into action in particular ways. And those will be the points at which we can go public as Christian disciples. One of the illustrations that's guided my thinking for many years now is one that I heard when I spent a year with the Iona community in Scotland right after my seminary days. Now, the founder of Iona, Dr. George MacLeod, was a pastor with a great passion for taking faith public. Now, at one point, he was pastor of a church in Glasgow, a church that had a stained glass window with the words, "Glory to God in the highest." One day, somebody threw a rock through that window and knocked the E out of highest, so that now the window read, "Glory to God in the High Street." And that, said George MacLeod, is where the glory of God becomes real, when we take our faith into the city streets and public places and cause it to make a difference there. That, friends, is the calling of all of us as the disciples of Jesus. Amen.